What are the things you think you just can't live without? Can you really be sure you can't live without them? What would happen if you didn't have them? Pascal and I have made our lists, and we will be checking them twice. And this is Life in Jest. Okay, you came up with this topic, and I like it, but is esoteric the right word? Esoteric is one of those words that I say that I don't even know quite what it means.
We'll see if you're right.
Well, I thought so much. I didn't know what level to think about the things I can't live without, because obviously that would be like my heart, my lungs, you know, things like that. But also my opinions have changed so much, you know, since losing Casey. Obviously, I would have said I couldn't live without him. For sure, it wasn't the same list I would have made a few years ago. It's an interesting thing. Anything that makes you think is interesting. You know?
I also, that is why I specifically said without people. I meant people and animals, because that would be an endless show. There's so much to explore there.
Yeah.
It would be so broad and emotional, and it would be never-ending. So this is, I meant very superficial. Obviously, the most thing to us and most people are your family, your pets, your, you know, humans and animals.
Right.
I hope that's on the top of everybody's list, because if not, they're a single.
Yeah, well, that is true. But, okay. All right, I hear you.
Well, I think me and everybody else wanted to know what was on that list.
You know me. Okay, well, it's the year of the fire horse, okay? And fire horse, yes, and...
It's my daughter so much.
Yeah, you said, yeah, because of the statue you passed and everything, yeah.
Absolutely.
He was born... this is weird, because I have to admit my age in order to make this statement, because I didn't know. I knew that it was a long time between years with the fire horse, but I didn't know it was 60 years, okay? And so...
Or four. There's wood.
Yeah. The elements.
Yeah.
Right. And so every 60 years, the fire and the horse go together. Well, I didn't get the memo. I just thought there had been years of fire horse since I was born. I didn't know. I found out about it just very oddly one day that I was a year of the fire horse, and somebody was like, "Well, that means you're like, you know, going to set the world on fire. You're going to be really something." And I honestly do think I'm really something. I mean, depending on who you ask, what am I, right? But I'm not a wallflower. I'm not shying away from my opinions. If people want it, they're going to get it from me. But I didn't know it was, so now I'm admitting I'm going to be 60, but okay. That's not that it's a secret, but it's like, I know it's just a number, but it's a weird number. You know, like in your 50s, you still feel young, but I don't know why it doesn't bother me, because I feel really young. I feel filled with energy. I'm a fire horse. I'm on fire, right? But it's just the concepts of it in society. Somehow the 60, you know, something that we set it up like, oh, that 10-year mark every 10 years. And 50 didn't bother me at all. But I've had a lot of tragedy since then. And I don't know. I just look at it differently. And I mean, in society, they label you as old pretty fast. In my 40s, I was young. I mean, I guess. And then 50, I was like only old to people. I'm like, what? You know, what? What is that? So then 60, I must be like friggin' ancient, right? It doesn't really matter. I would really like to date, but I don't know. It's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work. So if you could just present somebody with me that already we know each other and get along well, and we've been beyond all that. I know people that get together with people they went to high school with. I'm like, wow, that's interesting. I could see that because you already know them, you know. For somebody you knew in your past that comes back, that's cool because you already know the person. So if you knew me, if you're single and you knew me, you're not insane. Come on down. I
agree with that.
You don't agree?
No, because if you haven't changed as a person since they knew you in high school, and if they haven't changed, then I think that's weird.
Oh, I don't mean, I think personalities change, we grow and we mature, but the kind of people we are, that's what I meant. I think somebody that I was friends with in high school, I would still like. I mean, you're right. It doesn't mean automatic. I don't mean it's automatically going to work. I'm kind of joking, but I'm kind of not, right? But anybody you knew in your past, you knew you were friends with them. You knew you cared about them, whatever. So there's that potential for more there because it already happened. It doesn't mean it's automatic, but we all grew. I mean, I would hope nobody is the same as they were in high school. If so, like, you know, they're playing video games somewhere and I don't know. I never even played video games. It's just not for me. I just think it's a better chance reconnecting with somebody that you already had laughs with. That simple, right? You know, I don't know. There's something about meeting a stranger that gets harder and harder as you get older.
Me too.
I don't think so either. I think I'm going to just, I mean, my aunt never remarried. Her husband, her second husband died when she was in her 50s and that was it. She never got remarried again.
My grandmother too. She told me, she would always tell me she had no vices and that was the only man ever for her was my grandfather.
Wow.
She didn't drink. She never did anything.
Wow. So what did she do when he died? Like she just like hung out?
Yeah. See, I think in general, my family were very, I mean, not my whole family, but most of us are good being alone.
Right.
A lot of us, I mean, not that we don't get married or blah, 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 but I think that most of us are okay either way. Sorry. If to this, you know, sorry if I'm speaking out of turn, but you know.
Who are you apologizing to? Your family?
Yeah, if I'm misrepresenting.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
Well, of course, you're just speaking broadly. You're not going down the list of people.
Yeah.
But I'm both. I'm very dual about it because I'm an only child. So I was so used to being alone. But I also hated being alone because I was always alone. Like, it's a dueling thing inside me, I guess. But the days go so fast because whatever I'm doing, do you notice that time just seems to go so much faster?
Yeah, the older you get. I forget. Somebody told me why. Something like when you're young, everything's new. The world is new. You're learning. And then I wish I remembered exactly what they said because it really made sense when they said it.
Hmm.
You know, when you're older, you get more into a routine. So everything seems to kind of, it's like a little Groundhog's Day-ish, you know?
I am very dual. There's that song by the Counting Crows, She Don't Want Nobody Near. And it talks about this, which you would think I would hate because of the grammar, because I'm such a stickler for grammar. Remember I used to listen to that song over and over again? I know you don't like it. I just love them. And
loves other stuff, but, you know.
I love them. And that song, I just relate to it so much. But you would think I would hate it because of the grammar, because you know how I am about grammar. She don't want nobody near. I mean, that is an atrocity. But yet, I just related it to so much that I could get past that. That's how much I related to the song. And it's a song about a woman that needs to be alone, but also desperately needs people. It's all about how she doesn't want them there, but she wants them there. But then she doesn't want them to see the inside of her because it's a really sad place to be. I really related to that very much when I was younger. I have different reasons to be sad now. But all in all, used to be so desperate to not be alone. And it's a problem, you know. And also the other thing is these primal instincts to like be with, you know, we have these primal urges to procreate and be with people, you know, it's true, you know. And I really felt that. Like I felt like I just wanted, I mean, not necessarily to procreate. I did do that, but that's not, I just like the idea of being with somebody, a partner, it just seems so, so important to me at the time. And it's not It's not. But I, on the other hand, to be completely honest, it's like last night I was hardly deliver anymore, right? The delivery market has gotten really bad. Like it's just gotten really, really bad. And it's very hard to make money doing it anyway. So like, why waste my time? But I do it sometimes just to get out. And it is a feeling of accomplishment to just go from point A to point B and be done with it. And get some air, you know, whatever, drive around a little bit. And I was with you last night and I had to drive home. So I figured I'd turn it on the thing and do it. So I did. So apparently when on your profile, you know, I know I have a profile, but I forgot about it. You know what I mean? On the app, the driver app, there's a profile and I wrote it, I guess, but I don't remember what I said. I said I was a writer. And it says how many trips you have. So a guy came, I had no memory of this. Like you, you know what I mean? We just don't remember these things. So I bring the guy his food and he goes, how did you do all those deliveries? I go, what? And he's like, on the app, it says you did, listen to this. It says you did 12,000 deliveries in 3 years. I'm like, wow, did I? And I'm like, if you really want to know, my son died. And he had done this. And so it was the one, like, I'm a writer, but I needed income. And there wasn't much I'm capable of being, you know, I'm a creative and I just don't fit in. But I also, I knew it from him. And it was something I could do to be alone and just drive around and not have to think too much, just go point A to point B and listen to stuff and wipe the tears away when I delivered the food. And he's like, he didn't look horrified. He looked sympathetic, so which was nice. But I just told him the truth. I mean, and then I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't do it as much now. But I do think it was just a kind of grieving, you know, a weird kind. But I mean, all grief is weird. It's so individually weird. You know, I have a friend who recently lost her son. She keeps calling me and saying, like, when is it going to get better? And I'm like, you know, it's just a day-to-day thing. You know, it's just a day-to-day thing. And losing a child is way different than any other grief. It's against the laws of nature. And we have our good days and we don't. But it's just what it is for me is it's before and it's after. But anyway, I digress. I told the guy that. And I'm like, and this is true. I'm like, but I do like to make people happy that I'm bringing them their food, you know, and which is nice. I mean, some people are just grumpy and looking for trouble no matter what. But on the whole, people appreciate me because I've brought them happiness, because I think most people equate food with happiness. You know, we just do, especially Americans, right? But and he was like, oh yeah. And so he was very nice, and he gave me a very nice tip. So it was nice. And I don't remember what my whole point of this was, because of being alone and being, yeah. And I'm okay with being alone because. And he said, my wife and I looked at your thing, and I was like, you know, I just get that little wistful feeling. Like, I don't know why I don't have. I don't know why I don't have a husband, you know, like because I am really cool. I'm fun. There's so many cool, and I'm independent. It's not like I'm going to be up somebody's butt all the time, like demanding their attention. But I will say the fire horse thing might explain it. So going back to the fire horse thing, I can't even believe that it has been 60 years since 1966, since there was a fire horse. Because I was just saying, oh, someone said it was the year of the fire horse. I'm like, oh, I was born the year of the fire horse. And I'm like, I just had no idea that it was the last year of the fire horse. I thought it was really bizarre. So I looked it up, of course, like within the hour before. That's just what I do with this podcast. I was working, though. I was, you know, doing stuff for writing. You know, I wasn't like just like twiddling my thumbs. So they call it Chinese metaphysics, which I do enjoy. I love the idea of metaphysics. The fire horse blends with the horse's reputation for energy and independence. So the regular horse even has energy and independence. And then it's combined with the intensity of the fire element, giving it a distinct place in the zodiac tradition. That's, you know, that sounds wow. And so then it tells about the 12-year cycle of all these guys and all these guys. And the roots are in the ancient lunar calendar traditions. And the system places certain personality traits on the various birth years. And then alongside the animals, the Chinese astrology incorporates the five elements. Just what you said before, wood, fire, earth, metal, and water. So they have earth, wind, and fire as a group. But how come they didn't add in earth, wind, and fire? They didn't put wood and metal. That's sad. I feel bad for wood and metal.
Long.
True. I suppose. Well, I got into the name anyway. These elements rotate with the zodiac animals, creating a 60-year cycle. Each element is believed to influence one's traits and destiny. Well, when I tell you about these traits, it's so true, and it explains so much about me. The metaphysical theory is that everything on this earth, including humans, are made up of these five elements, and then within these elements, there are yin and yang versions. Then this is a holistic Chinese astrologer named Lydia Lee. People born in the horse years are forthright, strong in reasoning, and alert. And this is by Ming Xiao, a Melbourne-based feng shui expert. They are also eloquent and known for being impatient, willful, and heroic individuals. I like that. But that is, I am eloquent. I'm a writer, you know. I mean, I am all these things. I am forthright. I say what I mean, you know. I'm strong in reasoning. I would like to think sometimes my reasoning is a little bent more towards emotion, which might bend the reasoning, you know. But whatever I reason is strong, in my opinion. And am I alert? I think I'm too alert. I don't want to be so alert. And it says that the fire horse year is widely expected to bring intense, fast-paced change on a personal and global level. And then it's a year of heightened energy that needs to be managed wisely. So, all right. Well, I always thought it was a good thing to be a fire horse. And I mean, I don't think it's not. But let's see. Okay, so here's another thing that goes into a little deeper about the fire horse thing. Fire horses, apologies. And it's associated with intense energy, independence, and charisma. I like that. Fire horses are considered to be strong-willed, adventurous, and rebellious leaders, though they may also be impatient or impulsive due to a doubled fire element. That is so me, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm likely self-reliant, quick-witted. I am quick-witted. I love that about me. And bold, preferring to move forward without fear. You likely possess high stamina and ambition, and yet struggle with emotional volatility or impatience. Yes.
Yeah.
And then there was a superstition that says fire horse women, of course, it's always the women, are too headstrong and might bring bad luck or turmoil to their husbands or families.
The Fed's out of options. Rate cuts, money printing, balance sheet reversals. They call it policy, but it's really panic. This is in-game economics, where hope replaces discipline and the illusion of control finally breaks. They're not cutting rates because things are strong. They're cutting because the system is cracking. Inflation's eating savings. The labor market's stalling. Confidence in the dollar is fading fast. For decades, the Fed built a house of paper. Now they're striking the match that could burn it all down, leaving you to pay the price. When's the last time you actually held the wealth you've spent your life working for? My friends at Noble Gold Investments have been helping Americans move from paper wealth into real tangible assets. Numbers on a screen can disappear, but physical gold and silver, they've outlasted every crisis in history. Visit NobleGoldInvestments.com and get your free wealth protection kit today. That's NobleGoldInvestments.com for your free wealth protection kit. Discover how simple it is to protect your future.
Past performance may not be indicative of future results. Investing in precious metals, including gold, involves risks. Consult with your tax attorney or financial professional before making an investment decision.
Wow, right? And it says that despite these myths, they apparently studied women born in 1966, and it says, shows no evidence of negative life outcomes in marriage or career. Well, I have had negative life outcomes, but I don't think it's a fire horse. It says these people thrive in fast-paced, high-stakes environments. I don't know about that. But the birth rate dropped 25% in Japan due to that superstition.
Wow.
Yeah. But I just think that it is funny. And then someone else said, this is someone that claims to be Mariel Hemingway. I don't think it is. It was one of those weird, you know, Facebook has those weird things.
You can't go by Facebook.
But I'm going to read what it says, even if it wasn't her. It says, the fire horse only appears once every 60 years and represents the kind of feminine energy that was historically feared. Women born in fire horse years were considered unmarriageable, too wild, too powerful, too much. It does explain things, because fire horse energy doesn't tame. It doesn't perform. It doesn't wait for permission. I mean, seriously? Like, I feel like I wish someone would have told me more about this sooner. Like, it sort of makes me feel better about myself. Like, because it's not that I feel, certain people have made me feel bad about my ambition and my lust for life, I guess, you know, because the way I just, like, I'm so outspoken And it's really interesting that I'm so much like this, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think about it. I mean, I went to high school with a bunch of fire horses. That's all we were. And I think a lot of them are like that. Trying to think if, I mean, it's hard to say, but it's just strange. I guess I can't go analyzing the world. I'll leave that for others. But it's interesting. And then I'm wondering what's going to, like, maybe this is, like it says it's going to be a good year for me, you know, because it's a 60 year, it's like the anniversary. It's my first fire horse year since I was born. You know, like, so, like, there's not going to be another one. I'm not going to live to 120. This is it, bitch. I better make the most of this year. So I have a book that I'm working on that I'm going to turn in, and it is turning out absolutely awesome. So there you go. And my new book got a really good, it got a lot of really good reviews, but it got a really good one in like this religious magazine because the woman in it, Henrietta Wood, prays very religious, and they like that. So it's really cool that I got this review in this religious magazine called The Banner, and it's an honor. You know, that's something that doesn't often happen to me. So I love it when I connect with anybody. Well, almost, I guess. I'm not going to say anybody. Yeah. But I'm really glad that I align. If my book means something to you, and if it, you know, if it's something that inspires you or makes you reflect about something, yay. I want to touch as many people as possible, and it's an honor. So yay for that. Yes.
Count Jesus.
As my editor said, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I think it's amazing. I love it. And what was I going to say? Okay. And the other thing I just wanted to briefly say is we did just make an impulsive decision to go get some weed last night at one of those places because it's legal. And because I don't know, alcohol is hitting me too hard these days, like one sip and I'm like, whoa, I don't know what's going on. So I just want to chill a little bit. So we went to this place and it's just like crazy there. It's just like so much going on. And then I remembered I talked about, I know I talked about on this podcast, how I drank that drink with the weed in it
mm-hmm.
when I was in Indiana, and it was horrible. I had a really bad reaction, and I did not remember doing that in typical fashion until I walked into the weed store. I'm like, oh my gosh, I don't want that to happen again. So I knew I had taken a picture of that can, but I could not find it. And I found the pictures from that time of year and everything, but the picture, I don't know, it's just gone. But then I did remember that it was like a margarita flavored. So I found, I like Googled this margarita flavored, you know, weed drinks, and I did find it. And then the girl was like, oh, that's really mild. I'm like, oh my God, really? So, but then we agreed that I should buy the joint ones because the vape ones are stronger or something when you do one hit anyway. So, You didn't try yours yet. We both got stuff, and they both have CBD in them too, which is supposed to be good. But I will say that I did do a hit last night, take a hit, did a pull. What do you call it? I don't know. But it was good. I really enjoyed it. It did make me like happier and didn't put me to sleep, but it relaxed me. So yeah, I'm in. And it was like a $5 joint. It's going to last me, I guess, a little bit if I'm just doing one hit. And so that was good. But yeah. The place was crazy. Like, it was right by a strip place. The parking lot was so, like, did you see how well they monitor that parking lot?
Yeah, but it's like a Trader Joe's parking lot in there. And Trader Joe's needs to have people. I did go to a Trader Joe's once, the one in Merrick, and they had a guy directing in the parking lot. I don't know what happened. Yeah. Why they don't have that. But yeah, I thought it was good because that there's a lot of in and out in that parking lot.
I also thought it was also to make sure nothing nefarious goes on, because they're like, you know, like you walk out, you know, someone might try to rob you. You know what I mean?
These people are smoking pot. I don't even know.
Not the people that smoke. No, people that waiting to rob the people that smoke it, that just bought it, and just steal it or something. I mean, like, you know, I'm talking about petty crime, but you could wind up dead, you know? Well, I don't. I saw a guy escort one of the dancers out of the other thing. So, because they have to be careful too. Like some nut could really obsess over them, you know?
That I can see. Yeah. But, you know, no. Marijuana, that's what I'm going to call it because I'm old now. That people, you know, get like that about.
Well, I didn't mean it like that. I didn't mean the people that are buying it are the ones that are going to rob people. I think that I thought of other people that might be trying to take advantage of the people that bought it.
Too low stakes. No.
Yeah, but there might be somebody out there that just looking for a mark to rob. That's all I'm saying. And, you know, like, and just, I don't know. I'm glad. I was glad the guy was there looking out. Like, I just liked it.
Yeah. I think most should be like that.
I do too. I think that, yes, I think people need more to be observed more because just in case. I can't believe they still haven't found that poor Nancy Guthrie. My God. What the heck? Can't even imagine. Oh, sad. All right. So let us do our list, which I think I completely messed up. I don't know if I saw the part where you said no people. Well, it's not that I put people. Well, we'll see. Anyway, I have something. All right. Anyway, you go first, and then I'll show some.
What are you going to show?
Well, one of the things I can't live without, I do have here. So.
Interesting. Yeah. Okay. A lot of mine are pretty basic.
Really? All right. Yeah.
I mean, there's one that's a little weird, but otherwise they're pretty basic. Am I doing one? Am I doing all? What's happening?
I think we'll take turns, like, you know, one and one.
Okay. And number one, of course, is books. I have not been able to live without books since I could read a book.
Yeah, I think you read possibly the most books of anybody I know because you're always reading. You're always, always reading.
I've been like that since as long as I could remember, even as a kid. I don't know. I've just always loved to read.
Well, me too. I mean, I'm going to agree with you. I linked books with my other thing, like kind of as one of the things, but yeah, I mean, books are amazing. Like you can never be alone with a book. You know, when you have a book, like you're instantly in this other world or whatever. You're with the person, right, who wrote it, you know? And I think that's just a special gift that I wish more people would. I mean, there are a lot of people that appreciate them, obviously, but I feel like it's sad if there's one person that doesn't know the enjoyment, you know, the pleasure of that. It's sad. What are you going to do? You can lead a horse to water. Ooh, a horse again. But yeah, books are amazing. It's so basic, but I loved the Hardy Boys and Nancy Drew when I was little. I just loved them. I read them all, every single one.
I did.
Same thing over and over, basically, but I just was so into them, you know, like they were my friends, you know. But
me too.
I don't remember my earliest book. Do you remember your earliest book?
I'm going to show you. No, well, my earliest books I do remember. Because my mother would read me this series called The Sweet Pickles.
Well, that sounds cute.
Yeah, I looked it up as an adult, and they are really, they're very 70s looking. Maybe 60s, they really are. But the first book that I remember, I have two books. I'm sitting next to my bookshelf that were super important to me as a child. No, that's not it. Where is it?
I don't know.
Yes, it is The World's Best Fairy Tales. Aunt gave this to me. I don't know how old I was, but
put it like right in front of your face so that the camera might be able, because you still really can't see it. Well, we can believe you. It's so blurry because you're blurred.
Yes, I don't know. I must have read this book hundreds of times as a kid.
Wow, really?
Read it over and over. I love fairy tales. I love it because they're so fucked up.
They really are. They really are.
I was like that as a child. I came out of the womb.
Wow. That's so funny.
I like things like that. I always have. You know, I think it's next to my Chinese horoscope book, actually.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. So I've messed up my bookshelf. That's going to annoy me because
I know you are. Oh, boy. Yeah. All right. You'll be able to fix it soon enough. Don't worry.
Well, I'm fixing it now because
Oh, my gosh.
Met me?
You're too funny.
Yeah. So that's it. Go on. What's
all right. Let's see. All right. Well, I was I don't know if I was esoteric, but at first I wrote, I can't live without words, you know, because I love playing with words. I love, like, to me, I don't like a regular game. Like, writing to me is a game, even though it's also my work. Because I feel like I'm going to get something, like, there's something to be gained from it. If not, even like writing for me is a personal satisfaction. You know, like, well, I mean, hopefully, of course, I do want it to be published for sure. And even, but even if it's on Facebook, it is published, right, if I write it. But there's a certain joy and satisfaction that I get in with words. And so I definitely couldn't live without words. But then I thought, well, as an object, there's this thing called the Writer's Flip Dictionary, which I recommend to everybody that ever has any kind of inclination to write. You can't, I don't know, it was published by Writer's Digest. Has their own publishing house, and they published it. I don't know why it's called the Flip Dictionary. It's a silly, I guess because you can flip through it. It's just what it is a thesaurus, but I call it a thesaurus on steroids because I don't know why, but it has the best. I sound like Donald Trump. I have the best words, you know, but it's there's something about this specific thesaurus that is superior to any other thesaurus I've ever owned. And I love it so much, and I recommend it to people. And everybody, so far, anybody I've ever recommended to has been able to get it used because it's still available use. So if you have any interest in even just looking up for any kind of thesaurus thing, I highly recommend this. It's the Flip Dictionary, Barbara Ann Kipner, no, Kipfer. She also did like a book. She does those books of lists of things that, you know, like the kind of like a book you would keep in your bathroom, like the just like their trivia kind of things. She does those mm-hmm. kind of things. She's, I guess, very scholarly because I'd imagine making a thesaurus. I mean, I wouldn't have the patience to do it, but I certainly appreciate it. And so, and then during Hurricane Sandy, I had my original copy got ruined, and because I left it downstairs and my whole downstairs got destroyed. And I actually was, I was upset about it. My whole life was like, you know, I mean, actually, when I look back now, my life was not nearly as destroyed as it became later on. But at the time, it seemed pretty bad. You lose your whole first floor of your house and your whole neighborhood. It's pretty bad. But everything in perspective, I guess. But I was very upset about it. So someone bought me, a nice friend bought me another one. But it was also sad because Casey had drawn inside the other one. Because I guess he was just trying to be a part of something else that I love besides him, you know? Sure. Like my kids definitely were kind of jealous of my writing because it took me away from them, you know? It's interesting about that, you know? My friend Orel, who's a brilliant poet, wrote a book about writing for Scholastic, teaching for kids. And she wrote about a kid, this is sad. She had some great ideas for writing with kids, and so she had them write as like an object. So one of the kids wrote about his mother. He said he wanted to be a cigarette, and the point it was like, because his mother loved them so much. It turns out that his mother was actually a crack addict, right? And so this imagine this poor kid, and he wrote, I can't remember the exact words, but when you start me, I light up and I taste like cherries and I wish I would never go out. It was just this most beautiful thing about this poor child that his mother was a crack addict. It just shows you the power of words. And that's a lot to say about words, but I do love them. They're definitely the number one thing that I couldn't live without in terms of most things, I guess in terms of anything. So that was a very long way. I'm sorry. I'm a long-winded woman. I'm strong-willed. Go ahead. Sorry.
Well, this one's kind of goofy, but whatever. TV. I'll admit
it. Yeah. You love TV.
Love TV. I don't care what anybody says. I, if you would leave me alone with a book and my TV, I would never have to see any of you people again. Okay. That's exaggerating. But yeah, I love TV.
You really do.
You really do.
You do. Yeah. I never could understand how you had time for both of these things because you also work a lot. but yet you managed to consume so many books and watch so much TV. It's really, wow.
I don't know how I do it, but I do because I love them. And you know what? I think because I just love stories. I love different stories. And those things are both stories. I love it when people tell me stories. I love reading them. I love watching them.
All right. Well, I love creating them. So there you go. But I also love reading them. I like TV too. I mean, on TV, I was like probably my best friend when I was growing up. You know, I watched ridiculous things like Mod Squad, reruns of Mod Squad. You know, it wasn't, I didn't know there were reruns.
Yeah. I think that might be the point. I think people our age, the TV was everything.
Yeah.
And most of us grew up just watching a lot of TV. I don't know.
Yeah. 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 Starsky and Hutch. Oh, nothing but the finest TV. I did learn the Tomorrow and Tomorrow and Tomorrow speech from Macbeth from Starsky and Hutch. So there you go. Don't say you can't learn from TV. All right. Well, I'm going to say something you probably will have on your list too, but I'll say it. I gave you the opportunity to say it, but you didn't. So I'll say Howard Stern.
He is actually not on my list.
What? You love Howard? You can't. What? What?
Howard,
come on.
Yeah, honorable mention.
Howard Stern. Well, there's some, like, my focus is bizarre, but like I wrote down humor. So like this Howard is like humor outward where I listen, but then I have them also my humor inward. Like, so humor is like the thing was humor, but Howard Stern really, cause I started listening when I was young to him too, really defined my humor, I think, you know, because it was like studying a master at it, you know, like I learned aspects about humor that I wouldn't have if I hadn't. He's like a master teacher, like he takes guitar and he took painting and he studied from teachers. It's like he teaches me humor and still does. He also is changing and evolving. Of course, but there's certain parts of him that we just love the most that are kind of eternal. But I think he's just been the biggest example to me of a lot of things in life, but humor definitely. And I was going to write, I can't live without Sal's job interview, because he does these interviews. They have a job interview with a real Fortune 500 person that does job interviews, and they send various people called the Whack Packers, but also Sal works for Howard Stern. And his interview, I think, might have been the worst of ever. He said the most vile, I don't even want to say what he said. And then he didn't remember even saying it. He thought the job interview went well. And whenever I am in like a distressed mood, I put on Sal's job interview. The only sad thing is it was a longer piece, but I can only find a 5-minute clip of it. But I want the whole thing. And I've written to them more than once, please put up the long form of all these interviews. Not just Sal, but all of them. They're gold. We need the long form of these things, but yes, it's crass. I'm not going to lie, but so what? Life is crass, right? And these things are just so funny. They're just so funny to listen to. So I highly recommend Howard Stern, and you can look up Sal Gavrinel's job interview.
When I need a pick-me-up, I just YouTube Sal.
Yeah.
He is gold. I love gold. Sal. And yeah. I conversation with him, and he is like that in person. He is just, he is something.
Yeah, he doesn't put on any airs or at all. He's just him.
Sure.
Well, that's the thing about all these people, pretty much, that work there. You know, they pretty much are who they are. Robin acted like it was an act. You know, that's Robin. You know, she got interviewed once. She's like, that's a character I play. Oh, baloney. We all know that's not true. It's a hell of a character. And then Ronnie the limo driver, he's another one. Oh my gosh, you can't make this stuff up. Only on Howard would the limo driver become this huge celebrity, you know? So, love him. All right. Anyway, you go. Your turn.
Okay. Let's see. What am I going to pick? Okay. I think this is probably the weirdest thing I have on my list. It's not that weird, but it's the cat litter I use. I use the world's best cat litter. That's what
I've
it's
heard
called.
Of that. Yeah, yeah.
and it's so good. I would never use another cat litter ever. I have had cats for 40 years. And I've never had a cat litter as good as this. I keep trying other ones. I don't know why. It's a little pricey, but it's the best. So I cannot live without the world's best cat litter.
That's interesting. So I remember seeing it. Wow. I wonder, what is it that makes it so good? So superior to the cat litter.
Because it's just so much cleaner to me. It clumps better. It's better for the cats. It's made out of, I forget.
The corn or something?
Corn.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's not sticky.
Wow.
I don't like the other ones. I don't like the clumps they make. This just seems way cleaner to me. And it's flushable. I do not flush it.
No, don't fall into that trap. Just because they say it's flushable, you probably should never flush it.
I used to. My last place, I flushed it all the time. Everything was. But I have. Wow. I live place with septic tanks.
Wow.
I don't know
because I always hear that even when they say wipes are flushable, everybody's like, don't do it.
You could see this dissolves in water. If you put it under water, it dissolves.
All right. Well, that's good to know. Everybody get the world's best cat litter.
You will not be disappointed.
Look at that.
I mean, maybe you will. I don't really.
You never know. People can be disappointed. People could be disappointed in just about anything.
If you want good. It, if you don't like it, I don't really give a shit. Sorry.
No. Maybe we could get them to be a sponsor.
After I said I don't give a shit, but I love
no,
it.
You do. No, you're raving about it. I mean, you know.
Yeah. And I have several friends that use it. They love it too. But you know what? No. My son wears by another one. So, you know.
Don't say that. We're trying to get a sponsor. Come on. No,
whatever. Anyway, we should go through this list better because it's like almost an hour.
All right. Well, I really don't have. Okay, let's see. Wait. Oh, you did one? It was my turn? Okay. Yeah. I mean, this is not really an object. Well, I mean, it's like just a thing I do. Does that count? Can it be not an object?
Why not?
I say traveling. To experience other places, and it's very important. I don't like being in just the one place for many reasons. I think you need to grow as a person by seeing other places, you know, and just seeing cultures. And so it means a lot to me to travel, and we've traveled a lot together, and it is really fun when you have a friend to go with, you know, like.
Yes.
I've also traveled alone, especially for my book stuff. I just do sometimes. And I it's not that I don't enjoy it, but I do like to be with a friend. I like to be with you. And I don't know. We always have a great time, no matter where we are. And then even like when something disastrous happens, it's funny. You know what I mean? Like that time we could not find that Chinese place for the life of us. And the man, then he called us like, are you coming? Like, no, it's been 3 hours. We're not going to eat your nasty food now.
Like, serious? And he kept saying that.
What do you think is going to happen? You're somehow going to bully me into getting, you know how it gets, it's all soggy. We did try to find it.
We did.
And I believe I tried to call and they didn't answer. Isn't that what happened?
I called. You were driving.
Right. Well, so we did our best to inform them that we could not come, but we ran into like this insane traffic that there was an accident or something. Remember, we took that turn. We passed the block where it supposedly was. We didn't. It was not there. I mean, I'm not going to say it wasn't there. I'm going to say neither of us saw it. Okay. And we were looking, especially I was driving. So you were looking really carefully. You are really good at noticing things. We did, this Chinese restaurant was not where it said it was supposed to be. And then the problem was I decided to turn around the block and go around again. But that's when it was a big mistake because that's when the traffic happened. There was like an accident and there was no way to get back to this restaurant, which we didn't even know was definitely there. We would have had to go like miles out of the way. It was like there was so much backed up traffic. So I went around and took a different way with no traffic further away, the opposite way from the Chinese restaurant. And we wanted it. We would have liked it better than the pizza we wound up with. But you know what? That's life. And that's what we tried to tell the man who waited 3 hours to call us. And, you know, like, where were you when we were trying to call you, sir? You know, he was so irate. You know, like, are you really, like, what if I said I'm going to be there, like, stay open for 2 more hours and I'll be there? Like, would you wait for me for whatever we ordered? What could it have been? You know, and because we're two vegetarians. It was so funny. But we have fun. You know, we have fun no matter where we go.
I feel that way. Not on my list, but yeah.
I'm back. I just got to show you something very funny. This is, I don't know, maybe this will be something I can't live without. I bought these white, everything's all fuzzy.
Yeah,
you can't see it. Too bad. It's called Snow Dissolving Teeth Whitening Strips. Because, well, I didn't want, I know that mostly people use like bleach to whiten their teeth, and I don't want any bleach. But this, I Googled it, and it, whatever it is, it's hydroyapatite or something. I don't know, but it's supposed to be like natural. It'll probably be, you know, debunked in like 10 years. And like, it's like asbestos. You know, they used to love that. But cigarettes were safe at one point, I think. But in any case, I bought it. It was on sale at Costco because I figured, well, why not? Why not? If it's not going to hurt me, I didn't want to bleach my teeth. It was a reasonable price. You get a bunch of them. So I'm going to try it. So I'll let you guys know if the teeth whitening stuff works.
All right. Two sponsors, that and the cat litter. Teeth and cats. I don't think we're going to get to this list because...
I don't really have... Yeah, no, go ahead. We can be... I don't know why. Well, I mean, I really don't have much more anyway. I kind of blended things. It's fine. We can do another... Do some more and we can always do more another time. It's no big deal.
And I'm going to say them together.
Okay.
Automatic start for my car because even though I've lived without it and I never want to live without it again, I love that my car is warm or cold depending on the temperature because I don't know. I'm really lazy now. I don't want to warm up my car. I'm not going to go outside to warm up my car. That's crazy talk. I want to be when I get in my car.
Okay.
It's Hippies White Cheddar Cheese Doodles. People. They are so delicious. Don't eat regular cheese doodles, those wise, nasty, greasy-ass cheese doodles.
Yeah.
They're made with chickpeas, and they're fucking delicious. And there's other stuff, but those are the important things.
Well, the other thing about regular cheese doodles is the coloring is very bad for you. I mean, it's just artificial, very bad. I eat a similar product, but I eat the Trader Joe's. It's like Pirate Booty, but it's just Trader Joe's Pirate Booty. And I think it's sort of, it's very similar. I don't know if it's chip, it's corn though. So maybe not similar, but it's along those lines, that kind of thing.
Yeah, because both of them, the cheese is very light, like cheese doodles. It's like, nice, mild, you know, nothing crazy. They're not greasy.
I haven't had cheese doodles in so long. They're greasy?
I went to the store to try to get my Hippies and they didn't have them. So it's like, oh, I'll just buy regular cheese doodles. Gross. They're gross.
Wow.
You've gone the other way. You can't go back.
That's good because I'm glad because they're not good for people. People should try. Why not eat the healthy? You know, the problem is you get used to this stuff and you get like, it's like you get addicted to these ingredients, you know?
I've always been a very big cheese doodle fan. Wow, that's really stupid.
Well, they think they're probably fried too, right? Are the cheese doodles fried?
Yeah.
Or are they baked?
I don't know. As I've gotten older, I can't do fried stuff that much. It's just, I don't know. I don't feel super old, but yeah.
But it's better to be. Why? You know, it's a good thing that your body is rejecting certain things because it wants you to be. I don't think it's your age. I think it's when you eat healthy. And then you try something, then you try to eat something that's not healthy. Your body just like, no, I like the healthy stuff. It's used to it. I don't think it's your age.
God, I used to love cigarettes. I used to love food. Life was good. Alcohol. God, being healthy is stupid.
Well, there's a quote.
That's my.
I don't know. I like it. I don't know. As long as this weed thing works out for me, I'll be okay. Because I do like to have something to just chill out with, you know?
I'm going to try mine right now. Well, no.
Okay.
But in a couple of minutes.
All right.
Let's see how different it is. I mean, you know, mine is a vape and it's bomb and it's part CBD, part THC. So we're going to see how it works.
Yeah, well, mine is also those things. It's just not a vape. How many? I tried the one with the lowest amount of the THC.
Yeah.
It's pretty low.
Was called Calm, and I was pretty sold.
Yes, Calm is good. We want to be Calm. I don't know. But they did have a picture of JFK smoking, and I was appalled by that. I don't know if that's real or why would he? I just can't imagine that the president would be doing that.
I just love it because on the same wall was like Whoopi Goldberg. Who else?
Seth Rogen. Bob Marley was there. Yeah, that can't be real, right? Wait. Well, then how can they do that? That's wrong. I don't like that. The man is dead. He can't defend himself. I don't like when they put things that aren't true of people that can't defend themselves. JFK, hold on a second. You don't agree? They besmirched him.
I'm okay with that.
Maybe it's real. JFK smoking it. Let's hold on a second. Okay. I'm just typing it in and see if it's real. Okay, I think it's real. Wait a second. Fact check. Tommy Chong says JFK smoked cannabis in the White House. Tommy Chong posted the picture. I don't know, though. He said JFK smoked cannabis in the White House while president because he suffered from severe back pain and Addison's disease. I don't know what Addison's disease is, but I knew he had the back pain. Oh, but wait a second. The post was flagged as part of Facebook's effort to combat false news. They took a picture that might have been faked and put it up in that place. Which
Facebook is full of false news. So
I know it. I know.
We're picking and choosing.
Well, a 1998 book on Mary Meyer, one of Kennedy's mistresses, recounted a 1976 National Enquirer story that said Meyer and Kennedy smoked marijuana once at the White House. The information in the article was attributed to the late Jim Pruitt, who was a former Washington Post editor. And so apparently she and this woman confirmed the account. So this woman, this mistress, no, not the reporter said, they are confirming that she said that. This woman said it to the reporter and that he did do it that one time. So apparently that seems to be that he did do it at least once, but they can't prove that he did it regularly. I'm going to look into this more, but apparently he did.
You know who else needs to be smoking some Calm in the White House? This bitch needs to get that man bomb.
Well, I don't know. That's interesting. I'm going to look more into this.
All
Someone
right.
else wrote, did JFK blaze in the White House? Well, that's an interesting question. All right. Well, on that note, I'll look into that. I'll report back. And our quotes. I have a quote. Do you have anything?
I do. Here, go ahead. I'm finding it.
Okay. Where did I put my script? Hold on.
Oh, you froze.
Oh, not again. Am I gone?
Hello? Hmm. I don't know if you can hear me, but I have a problem.
Hmm. Hello.
What happened?
I'm sorry. I don't know. It's just one of those days, I guess. Okay. So hopefully I'll be able to put it all together. All right. Here's my quote. Okay. Because we were talking about me and the fire horse and all that stuff, I'm going to do a quote from Jack Kerouac. He said, "The only people for me are the mad ones. The ones who are mad to live, mad to talk, mad to be saved, desirous of everything at the same time. The ones who never yawn or say a commonplace thing, but burn, 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 like fabulous yellow Roman candles exploding like spiders across the stars. And in the middle, you see the blue center light pop and everyone goes." That's on the road. That is me, I think, because I would like to say I'm a little more calm, but not really. Oh, by the way, I forgot to say one thing that's really important to me, of course, that I can't live without. Those sticks that I use, the sticks to communicate with Casey. Of course, they're, I don't know, I passed by it because we earlier when we said we weren't going to talk about the kids and all that, and then I realized, well, it is Casey, but it's, so I use these sticks. So I want everybody to know that they are very important to me. Yes, I'm sorry I missed that before. And these things are not in order of importance, really. It was just a way, but obviously everybody knows how important Casey is.
Yes, well, that's what I'm saying. You know, material things really don't mean anything for the most part, but...
Yeah, that's true. It's just these particular things allow me to communicate, so that's why they're so important.
Exactly.
Okay, and... there was one other quote. This is weird. Like it's again about the fire thing. William Shakespeare said, "Fire that's closest kept burns most of all." And I don't know. That just sort of reminded me of me too. And I don't know if it's good or bad or what. Maybe I have to keep myself close, like to burn. I don't even know. But you know what? It attracted me. So I said it.
Nice.
You know?
I like
that. Okay. Thank you. Okay, your turn.
You know what? I changed my mind. Okay. Well, what? I bought this as a magnet because, you know, I love magnets and I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
When we went to Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Just simple. I cannot live without books. Thomas Jefferson. I am.
There you go.
But your other thing reminded me, I don't actually know who said this, but I first heard it in a Def Leppard song. But then I heard Queen song, and then Kurt Cobain said it. So I don't know. I used to know who originally said this, but I can't remember. But it's, and I'm sure you've heard it, it's better to burn out than fade away.
Yeah, I have heard that.
Yeah, but I said that.
But yeah, you're right. And what? Yeah, it's true. I never forgot it's in that. It is in that Def Leppard song too.
Yeah, it's in a Queen. It's from a soundtrack from Highlander, which is an awesome movie if you're a big old nerd like me.
Highlander? Is that that thing with that woman with the time traveling?
No.
Isn't that called Highlander?
Oh, yeah, maybe.
I think it is.
Yeah.
So you're talking about something different.
Yeah, this is about these immortals that have to fight to be the ultimate one. But whatever. Hmm.
It's better to burn out
than fade away.
I wonder. I know. You know who sang hey. Rock and roll is here to stay. It's better to burn out than fade away.
I don't know. I don't know that.
That's, I think, Neil Young and Crazy Horse, my hey. I think who originally said it? Yeah, it is. It's originally by Neil Young in his 1979 song, my hey.
Good for him.
And it gained further notoriety when Kurt Cobain quoted it in his suicide note, which deeply affected Young. Oh, I can imagine. Oh, that's sad. That I would hate that if something I wrote was in someone's suicide note. Oh my God, you know? My God, that would be awful. John Lennon said that he disagreed with Young and said he'd hate it and preferred fading away like an old soldier rather than burning out like Sid Vicious. So there you go.
Fortunately, that's what happened with him.
John Lennon? John Lennon didn't burn out. He got murdered.
Yeah, but he didn't fade away.
No, he didn't fade away, but he didn't burn out either. Neither one happened to him.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
No, he didn't burn out. He didn't shoot. It wasn't his fault that he died.
Yeah, that's very true. Okay, I take it back.
Yeah. Sad. All right. Well, on that note, we will go. You take your toke and... Everybody have a great week. And one other thing, it's Read Across America Week. Everyone, and when you hear this, it'll be Tuesday. Read to your kids, and even if it's not Read Across America, when you hear this, read anyway to your kids or read, you know, to your grandkids or whoever. Somebody, keep promoting reading. All right,
yeah.
Everybody, have a great week. Au revoir.